talking about Vikings. We're talking about him and about Kale. Oh,
Merry Mini Monday, Chunkies. I'm Carter.
I'm Doge.
And you know I am Gordon.
Wednesday in 2 days.
2 days.
Our favorite. Can I say that collectively?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Our favorite
reality television show. Yeah.
Survivor. Season 43, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not even the biggest news. There's lots of news today that I want to get through.
It's crazy to me that they've gone like 43 seasons on a show about the band that did the song from Rocky.
Right. I know.
I can't even believe it. Though.
We're just
how many eyes
we're
does this tiger have
their whole life. You know?
That's crazy.
They're doing a month at a time every season.
That's crazy.
So it's going to be long.
Got snubbed at the Emmys, but it's crazy.
Super that snubbed. One episode speaking, where they were just at the DMV for a long time was yeah. weird.
Bold.
They brought the sloth back too. I didn't even know. I guess it makes sense.
Thematically, I just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, it was weird. Speaking of the Emmys, we have winners and not much new here. Succession wins Outstanding Drama Series. Ted Lasso wins Outstanding Comedy yep. Series. Here's what's what the pandemic has done for my brain. We already have foggy brains from the pandemic, especially if you actually got COVID.
What's up?
But also with television, so many award shows were kind of pushed back and put into different seasons. The Ted Lasso, there's only been two seasons of Ted Lasso, right?
Yep. Isn't that crazy?
That's yeah. bizarre. I thought yeah. there's yep. been like three. But Ted Lasso won for Outstanding Comedy Series. Our lead actor winner was Lee Jung-jae, who won everything. He kind of swept yeah, all the awards yeah. for television. That's our Squid Game lead. Lead actress for drama series was Zendaya, who won it again. So yeah. it's so funny that they gave this stat, like historical stat, like youngest to ever win two. It's like, well, she was the youngest to win one, and she won the next year.
yeah. yeah.
So I didn't think anything would change there.
Here's the thing with the Emmys. So Succession, Ted Lasso, The White Lotus— and
White Lotus cleaned up.
Squid yeah. Time. Or Squid Time.
Squid
Game.
Time. Squid Time. My favorite.
Oh, Squid Game.
That's what you call it when you like lay in a pool and let your arms go limp, right?
The four of those shows.
Best new morning children's television. Squid
Time. The four of those shows cleaned up at the Emmys. I have not seen Squid Game yet. I plan to watch it eventually, but I have not seen it yet. The other three shows are three of my top five shows from the last year. So
yeah.
I am fully in support. Succession is amazing, deserves every award. Jeremy Strong deserves every award. Like, all mm-hmm. of it is great. The fact that Better Call Saul finished this yeah. round of Emmys with nothing.
Wow.
Two things. One is a literal crime. Arrest them. The only thing I can think of is the Emmys already know that Better Call Saul wins, like, sweeps.
Yeah,
next year
because the final
well,
season is eligible.
They
for
split
next
final
year.
Season in half, mm-hmm. and part two should be eligible for next year. I'm telling mm-hmm. you, it is the best TV I've ever watched with the best performances I've ever seen. Like
really wonderful
TV right now. I still enjoy watching I like watching award shows. I still enjoy sure. the Oscars more than the Emmys.
Sure.
Because Emmys are just kind of like nothing's really said on how many nominees you can have. It'll be 10 yeah. here, 7 here, 6 here. But this is. TV is good because we had
yeah.
Lee Jung-jae win sure. for Squid Game. Bob Odenkirk obviously was nominated in that same category with Jason Bateman for Ozark, Brian Cox for Succession, Jeremy Strong for Succession, Adam Scott for Severance. It's like,
yeah,
yeah,
it's tough. I think it's going to be one
Adam
of those
Scott
where you look
blew
back
me away in Severance.
Yeah,
honestly,
he's fantastic. Yeah. My point is like if Rhea Seehorn finishes her career with Better Call Saul without an Emmy,
with zero Emmys,
she's phenomenal.
If they're not getting writing. 100%. The show, don't get me wrong, still, I love every element of that show, but the show right. might as well be called What's Kim Doing? Because that's...
What's Kim Doing?
That's my
What's
favorite
Kim
part.
Got to do with it?
That's my favorite part.
Julia Garner won for Ozark. That was also a layup. People were pretty certain yeah. she would. I have not seen Ozark, but I heard that she's one of the best things about it. I'm biopics don't exhaust me. I don't get super pumped about many of them, but her playing Madonna...
It's a great cast.
Feels perfect.
It is a great cast.
Our lead actress for a comedy series was Jean Smart for Hacks.
I haven't seen Hacks.
Hacks is such a good show. It is very, very good. The seasons aren't long.
Hard selling it. I want to see
it. You got great bites out of there. Sudeikis won for Lasso.
Sure.
We had So Cheryl Lee Ralph won for Abbott Elementary. Abbott Elementary got a lot of writing awards and an acting award.
Can I tell you, I watched this all that's out of it. I watched the only season that's out, and I was not really impressed.
Hmm. I think it's because there's a Mike Schur style hole in a lot of people's lives right now. Now that like...
The Good Place is done and...
Good Place is done. Well, and like even shows that are not Mike Schur but feel some, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is over. And so people are like really, really hungry for another vibe like that.
Yeah. Abbott Elementary felt like it came out 6 years too late to me.
Yeah. It's a bummer. Brett Goldstein won for Ted Lasso, where there were three nominations. Toheeb Jimoh and also Nick Muhammad were in there. But good Emmys, good shows out there. Matthew McFadden.
Yeah.
For Succession.
Yeah, my favorite character in Succession. So I'm
he's one
that.
Of the best characters in television right now.
Yeah, he's what an awful so fantastic.
In a cesspool of awful people. So no surprises there. There is a lot of new TV news as well. We have a Russo Brother executive production of kind of going back and telling the story of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Have you heard about this?
No.
No. That's cool though.
Yeah,
love that movie.
Yeah, called Butch and Sundance. And good things are happening. So Raji Jean Page, I can't ever pronounce his name.
Oh, yeah.
He got all the big heat from...
Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah.
He was in The Gray Man. It wasn't very good. I'm still
kind
of...
He was rumored for a while, I think, when Marvel was waffling between recasting T'Challa or letting T'Challa die off screen. He was rumored to be like just a replacement for Chadwick.
Mm. Oh, nice. Reimagining this classic Western, Paige is playing Butch Cassidy. Our Sundance Kid is none other than Glenn Powell.
Oh.
That's why this makes the news. I'm so ready for that dude to absolutely blow up. Manny Jacinto from The Good Place.
Yep.
And Top
Huge
Gun.
Jaguars fan. is joining that Acolyte
series.
Star Wars show.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If only I cared about Star Wars anymore.
Right. One of the more important things, Ridley Scott is helping to executive produce and write for Blade Runner 2099.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm in.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
who's doing it?
In kind of getting that espresso drip out of that Blade Runner universe.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we haven't blown it yet. And that's thanks to Denis. Have
you heard of him, Jordan? I think you'd really like his work.
I don't know. I don't like people with French names.
Hmm.
Let's see.
Wait, isn't my name French?
There's really not a lot about this. Silka Luisa. She's got an Apple TV Plus show called Shining Girls is going to be the showrunner. There's not too much about it.
Mm.
But I know Ridley Scott's a part of it. And he tends to take care of his IP pretty well. So, a lot of great news. I want to do a little bit of what you're streaming.
Please.
Ooh.
For these boys as we talk about all the good TV that's out there. I'll start. If you're on our Discord on that $5 tier with two chunks, the chunkies know that I finished The Bear recently.
Ooh,
and I
cool.
can't get over it.
Dude.
That is a...
Cool.
Congrats. Talk about
so
also
good.
Shoe in for some awards next year. Has to
yeah.
be. Our leads, everybody. I was bawling. That last episode of The Bear was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend it. It is small
it's
bites.
Short.
It is not easy bites.
Yes, correct.
If you are prone to stress, I'm
the second to last
time.
Episode of this television show is the most tense I've been in a long time.
Yeah. We got to the end of that episode because it was very short. It was a 20-minute episode. And Chelsea was like, you realize that was the 20 minutes before open that they said, like before the restaurant opens, like that they said at the beginning. And I just wasn't even following the clock. I was like, they gave us the literal 20 minutes before that restaurant
Carter,
was
you
to
know
open.
That episode was a single take.
I had no idea.
They didn't cut once. That entire episode was an actual single take. That is a 24-minute single take. And it's not trickery. They actually did it in
so
a single take.
They just did it like a play, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is
cool. So stressful.
It is that if you can release a 24-minute single take episode of television and it doesn't win an Emmy, I will riot.
Yeah, that was brilliant. We're also watching Chelsea's going through Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, that show. The HBO Max reboot.
No,
the OG
dude.
There's a reboot.
It is ridiculous. And it's so fun how awful that show is. But it's an absolute blast. I can't, the twists and turns. There are characters that were just in high school that are now like cops that are killing people. They're like murderers.
Jeez.
It's like we loved Breaking Bad and then wanted to give it a shot, but we only had 24 hours to write.
But we also had CW budget, so.
Yeah, 100%. But that's been a lot of fun. Great. A lot of juxtaposition in the Willis house right now.
That's great.
We're all over the place. What y'all streaming?
We are deep, deep, deep in Better Call Saul right now. Like,
love that for you.
4 episodes left. It's blowing me away. I think emotionally not ready to say that it is as good as Breaking Bad, because for a long time I would have told you that that's the best thing that's ever been on television because of the sustained momentum through all 60 plus episodes. But I think give me time to come to terms with it, and Better Call Saul is at least as good.
Wow.
It's valid. It's valid.
Better get, Jordan, what you streaming?
Yeah. So we are obviously Rings of Power. Phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. In love. Completely sold. Episode 3 sealed the deal for me.
Episode 3 talk with you at some point.
Yeah.
On this episode, we can pull the buds out of Doge. I'm in.
Loving that. We're also watching Big Brother, getting to the final little bit of this season. Have really been enjoying it. We're going to go jump back and watch some old seasons because we've really kind of fallen in love with the show this season. And then also, I'm playing Sekiro, and it's a lot of fun.
Love that. Big
announcement. We're also playing Multiverses.
Well,
which Multiverses.
We played, oh, I heard about six rounds of Multiverses and got
heard about that.
Destroyed.
6 straight losses. Shout out to Genre Geeks for being way better at that game. Way than
to
go, Genre Geeks.
Yeah, thanks for the invite to the tournament. It was super cool to jump on and get embarrassed for about 35 minutes.
No, what can we awesome. Invite them fun. To?
Catch us in the loser's bracket, though. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. We get to play again.
Do you guys want
to
come do a trivia contest about my life?
Yeah.
You just, okay. who was my first grade teacher?
Oh, you don't know that?
Buzz in right now.
Interesting.
No, thank you. It was awesome, guys.
Speaking of video games, we don't do a ton of like video game announcements on a movie and TV show podcast, but
this is true.
We did get our new Zelda
game. So Breath of the Wild is my number one game of all time.
Here he goes. Don't get him started.
I could literally talk. I could start a Zelda podcast in the lead up to Breath of the
Let's do it now. Sure. I'm going to take my headphones out. I'm going to go get some water. But, you do it. You go.
As a diehard lifelong Zelda fan, I could not. It is my most anticipated game of maybe my life thus far. I don't know that I have ever put more unfair pressure on a video game than I'm going to put on this
Pretty
game.
Pretty brilliant tease they gave us, though.
Yeah, it was a really good tease.
Ooh, I know. I'm so pumped.
They were just doing big things in a big world. We're like, okay.
I just feel like
I need to finish it, man.
There's no way it's not.
You didn't finish perfect. Breath of the Wild?
I don't remember what happened. I think I started writing a dissertation.
That's dumb. I think that is exactly what happened.
Yeah, I remember. Think that's what happened.
Yeah. I think I jumped in and I was like, well.
I remember you telling me, like, I bought a Switch and I'm playing Breath of the Wild and this is blowing me away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's phenomenal. I have to get back. I got to go back to the island.
Let's do a replay. Let's all three do a replay at the same time.
I'm going to.
Jordan will finish first, but we can all do it at the same time.
Great. Yeah, he's already done. Let's take an ad break and let's come back and let's hit the links, hit the course. Speaking of link, you know what I'm saying?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You want to play Jolf?
Sure.
Yeah.
Man, it was hard. I didn't play for like a month. I got into Jolf and we were playing every day. Remember that? It was exhausting.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Longer than a week break?
Yeah. That's JJJ OLF Jolf.
All lowercase.
If you want the origin story of how it was named, join Discord. What if that's what people join Discord? So tell me.
Why did you pick that?
What if we just said it for everything? Okay, today we're going to talk about Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. on Discord.
On Discord. Tune in.
Turn off the podcast.
With Jolf, we use Flixster, aka Rotten Tomatoes. And we do critic or audience review. I'm always going to leave it out there, but these guys always put critic reviews. It is technically more interesting. They have technically 22 strokes. If they get, how do I explain this? I got lost in my own. I couldn't even say strokes. Irony.
It happens to everybody.
It happens to everybody. You have 22 strokes, which means you can get within 22 percentage points of these guesses. Sometimes we get way off on the first one. Sometimes, I think one of you got like four movies in with still within your allotted strokes. That's how close
that
you
would
were.
Be me.
That would be Dossier.
I'm a real Jolf head.
Theme-wise here, I want us to look ahead to, because this week is our final of Five for Fighting. We're going to review the dramatic on all fronts.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don't worry, darling.
I'm worrying.
I'm excited for
hey,
that.
Hey, darling. Hey, darling.
In a different way.
I'm worried. Yeah.
I'm worried, but I'm excited to talk about it and get those
it
opinions
seems
out there.
Juicy.
It seems very juicy. I'm going to be looking for real world drama within the context of this fictional narrative. And I think it'll be fun. After that, we welcome back Chunktober.
Well, bless you.
I'm so sorry.
Welcome back, Chunktober.
Continuing your streak of being the only person who sneezes on the podcast.
Dude, why
is
that?
It was nice to have a little jump scare, though. It makes sense.
Huh? Oh, it's because we care about it. Me and Carter.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. I should have thought.
Have we told the Chunkies what our theme is for this coming Chunktober?
I actually don't know.
I don't believe
so. We have some creature features. Creature threechers. We don't have to lock into that. To calling it threechers, because I don't want you to feel like Doge, like you have to make it say threechers because it's the third Chunktober. But
oh, that's hilarious. I love that.
I'm gonna do for Jolf today some of the movies that we'll be reviewing for Chunktober.
Could you do threecher threechers and just use the three twice?
Threecher threechers.
So it's gonna be like Monsters Inc., Monsters vs. Aliens, Charlize Theron and Monster. Yeah,
that's it.
Cool.
That's all of them.
Great.
We have 5 weeks. You'll only hear of a couple of our movies now. We start with a classic for someone who is very famous for...
Oh, that was good.
I was feeling that was really good.
Oh, I was feeling it.
I was feeling it. Put the swatter down.
My Jeff Goldblum always accidentally becomes Adam Sandler in The Waterboy. Like the stuttering becomes too much.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Bobby Boucher.
Uh-huh.
Wow. With The Fly is our movie before we get too far away. By the way, shout out Gina Davis, who got one of those.
Shout out Gina Davis.
It's the award that's basically like, hey, thanks for doing everything. She got an award at the Emmys really for her... philanthropic contributions.
That's what they said. I think it was for Cutthroat Island.
It was for Cutthroat Island.
That's what
it
seems like to me.
The Fly, a bit of a body horror film here. I have never seen.
Me neither.
So The Fly, released in 1986.
Ew.
What is our... We're going with critic review?
Yes.
Yeah.
Critic review for The Fly. Who wants to go first?
I will.
I'm on mute.
Thanks, Jordan.
Wait. I pushed the wrong button, but I'm muted now.
Are you sure?
Can you guys hear me? I'm muted now.
I was making my notes and I accidentally spelled Jolf with two J's. That's embarrassing.
The Fly, I'm going to say 81%. I'm good. Doge, you may unmute.
73.
Ooh.
What did you guess, Jordan?
81.
Get excited, because Rotten Tomatoes said 93%
ooh,
certified fresh for The Fly. David Cronenberg combines his trademark affinity for gore and horror with strongly developed characters, making The Fly a surprisingly affecting tragedy.
I don't think I realized that it was Cronenberg.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It is Cronenberg.
Jordan, I've heard that Crimes of the Future is fun.
You have 10 strokes left. Doge has 2 strokes left.
It's what? I only need one.
That's right. It's 10-2. The next movie that we will be discussing here is Pan's Labyrinth, a great Diego Del Gorbo film. Pan's Labyrinth. What is the review for Pan's Labyrinth, Doge?
Diego Del Gorbo is... Diego Del Gorbo is my absolute favorite running joke on our podcast.
Yeah, it's very good.
That is the best thing that's ever happened
to me.
It's
very good. All right, I'm popping out.
Man.
93.
Are you done yet?
He's done.
You may return.
Yeah. 93.
They said the very same.
No way.
Yeah. You said the very same one.
Hold on.
And we have to talk about this.
All right.
It's 95. So Jordan goes down to 8.
I am at zero.
Zero. You're not in the negative though.
Unless he gets it in, because like
he's got to get it perfect.
Perfect from now on.
Yeah, you'd have to get it perfect.
Okay.
No joke. When he said 93, I was about to say, then I'll go to 95 to keep it interesting, and then you gave the answer of 95.
Our next one is The Host.
Ooh.
We are big Bong Joon-ho fans here on this podcast. And this is one of the only movies of his I have not seen. And I am happy to have waited.
Also, I haven't seen Okja.
Chunktober. I haven't seen Okja either. So maybe I haven't done much. Jordan, you're going first.
Yeah. Let me think. I'm going to go 87.
Okay. Doge?
97.
It was...
I think they love it. They can't get enough of it.
They do love it. It was 93.
Mm.
So Jordan wins with 2 points to Doge's -4. Quite the critically acclaimed Chunktober. That is
ended
not
up being closer than I thought, too.
Yeah, that is
after
not
I blew
the
20
most common thing.
Right away.
Yeah, that's not the most common thing in horror movies. But we have many coming up that I think are going to be fun.
Man,
I'm so excited for this series. I've only seen one of them.
Oh, really? I think The Host and The Fly are the only ones I haven't seen.
Yeah. I've only seen one of them. Our full lineup in no particular order, but I might happen to accidentally say the order. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The Descent, The Host, The Thing, The Fly, and then Pan's Labyrinth. We tried, we tried to get all of these out there, but we're not going to sacrifice that.
Pan's of the Labyrinth.
And take away one of the most horrifying creatures I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It still had to be a part of this. To end today's episode. Mm. No, actually, Jordan, let's do spend some time talking about episode 3. I also want to have a check-in with you guys on House of the Dragon. I am currently, from what I know to be the only representative
that's taking that shot.
Yep.
With my eternal optimism, it makes sense that I'd be like, yeah, I'll try. Even after getting so literally burned, figuratively burned by Khaleesi at the end of season 8. If I was to put it on a 10-point scale, I'm not going to give it the scientific scale yet because I haven't seen the whole thing.
Sure.
Is that an 8?
Okay.
That's really enjoying it. Great performances. It doesn't feel like they're rushing things too much. They are doing a good job of some legitimately strange source material because the Targaryens are obviously ancestral in a way.
Sure.
And so it's weird with an HBO show, but I'm liking it so far. I'm not liking it as much as The Rings of Power. And now, Jordan, let's spend some time talking about this third episode.
Would it be easiest if Doge just said goodbye now and then we can end it so he doesn't have to like come back after we're done
talking? Oh, you think you can podcast without me?
We're going to.
Yeah, that's true.
Doge, to end today's podcast for you. Mm-hmm. This is fun. We've never done this.
Cool.
I'd love to have your name. And then I want you to tell me, in Middle Earth, what is your race and profession?
Ooh, cool. I'm Doge, and as much as I want to say, like a human ranger who's the secret last king of men, that is just not true. I'm a nasty, crusty human, and my job is to cut the heads off all the fish we catch in our village.
Man. That's a tough job, but it needs to happen.
I like how you went from the biggest possible thing you could be.
I already had a micro joke ready for you. Thank you.
Well,
bye.
Have fun.
We'll stick around.
Get out of here. You should have caught up on the show that we all like.
So the Chunkies don't know my full opinion so far.
Sure.
Because I had not seen any of it. And you and Doge got to talk about it. I am all in on the Rings of Power. Jordan and I were talking about this beforehand. The best thing you could ever do with any source material is honor the source. And from what I can experience right now, and someone who loves Tolkien, I think he is fully being acknowledged in every frame.
I agree.
I love The Rings of Power.
I agree.
I have loved the most episode 3.
Yeah, dude. It's so good.
It's so good. I can't remember the last time. Maybe it was Breaking Bad or something. Honestly, it could have been like Lost.
Sure.
But like the last time the end of an episode was so good, it frustrated me.
I know. Every time it cuts to credits, I'm like, no!
Yeah, I know. And I was like, I gotta wait a week. I'm loving it. I replayed our leg launch of the Chains of Oppression at an orc face multiple times.
Yeah, dude.
Pulling them out into the sun, seeing their flesh burn. Dude, it's all so good. And I have to say, you know that it's honoring Tolkien when one of the best storylines is the Harfoots. Yeah. I think the fact that we're seeing a migratory like hobbit people and the sacrifice of Nori's just kindness for this man who came from space is so intriguing, and it is pulling at all the heartstrings. It is gorgeous. It's a beautiful show. Beautiful show. What'd you think of Ep 3?
I already was very into the show. Episode 3 is the point that I said, okay, I'm fully, fully bought in.
Yeah.
It was, Numenor is gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Seeing young Isildur, seeing his dad.
Our casting is so good. One of my favorite things about this show in general is we got people that we don't necessarily recognize from other content that's out in the world right now.
I mean, so Morfydd Clark, I had never even heard of. She's blowing me away. I think she's
and
really
fantastic.
And that
in itself, that is such a Tolkien thing because it's easy to look at our original trilogy. I think so Christopher Lee and Ian McKellen were by far the most recognizable. And even then, they're just playing roles that they've kind of been playing their whole lives.
Sure.
But it was like, we didn't know who Viggo was. We didn't really know who Orlando Bloom was.
Yeah, didn't know who Elijah Wood was.
Had some kind of career, but it was like, the casting is great.
We knew
great.
Rudy.
We knew Rudy, but Morfydd Clark is
good. She's blowing me away. I'm really impressed with the writing. Sometimes you watch a TV show or a movie and you know the budget, and I find myself being like, where did all that money go? I don't have to ask that question with Rings of Power. You can see the money dripping off of everything.
Gorgeous.
It is beautiful. Yeah. I am starting to border on obsessed with this show.
I am too.
And I'm ready for it, man. I just want to, any excuse to just live in Middle Earth for a while longer is all I need.
Yeah, 100%. And they're absolutely doing it. Can't wait for episode 4. I don't remember how many seasons are in tow in terms of what they did. I think I've heard 5. I don't know.
5 seems like a safe amount of seasons.
Our pace is good. Our pace is really good and feels like can be done justice in 5 seasons.
I agree.
I don't yet have the feeling of, boy, they're going to have to spread this storyline thin. I don't feel that at all.
I agree.
But to end today's episode, Jordan, we'll do our names just like Doge did. That profession and race within the Dwarven. Here's mine already. Within Middle Earth. I love the Dwarves. I loved seeing Khazad Dûm. I would love to be a Dwarven smith, but I think I would probably be in the kitchen. I think they have beautiful meals. Mm. I would love to be able to provide. And I'm either on the line. I don't know how high up I would be in that kitchen, but I'd love to feed the peoples of Khazad Dûm.
I think that's very good. Sounds about right. I'm Jordan, first of all.
Just do it then.
I think It's not something we hear about in Lord of the Rings a lot. It's a little more D&D-y, but I really feel like I would be like an elven bard of some kind.
Come through, dude.
I'd love to just 100%. Wander the land with a little, like a lute and tell stories and sing songs and get free drinks because my stories are funny.
Yes.
That's what I want to do.
It's probably got a touch of Enya in there.
Sure. Oh, sure. You
know, if it's elven, it's like, it's going to be pretty.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can do it.
That's all
you
I want.
You could do that profession now.
Yeah, I just want to be a modern bard. Yeah, I would love that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.